We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. Jeff, I got to tell you, I find Twitter is, it's become more entertaining since Elon Musk took over, just because people don't care what they write now. And what's amazing is the hypocrisy, and it's not just one side, but what really stands out, the hypocrisy on the left. This Eric Swalwell, who's in Congress, here's a tweet he had last night. It's official. After nearly a week since it happened, GOP leader McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy, will not condemn Trump for dining with a Jew-hating Holocaust denier. We gave you a chance, Kevin. So from here on out, you're to be called hashtag KKK Evan McCarthy. This is a guy who slept with a Chinese spy, and he is traitorous, and he's throwing these around. But that's just one example of the hypocrisy going on with these politicians. It's sickening.
Well, let's not forget, Bob, I'm talking about the KKK, the current occupant of the White House, who is part of a Representative Swalwell's party, gave the eulogy for a KKK Grand Cyclops, or whatever they call him, Robert Byrd, who was the U.S. Senator from West Virginia.
And so, Hillary Clinton said it was her mentor. So,
right.
And this is a great point, what you just brought up. So it's okay to excuse that, but there are people who you, like, there was a witch hunt last week for Jerry Jones. Because, 50, 60 years ago, when he was in high school, he was caught in the back row of a photo of white kids blocking blacks from segregating a high school. He claimed that he just was curious and showed up there, but the Times or I think it was the Times or the Washington Post went after him for this. And one, he was a kid. He wasn't seen and do anything but in the photo, yet that cannot be excused by some people. However, it's excused because the guy said, well, I'm not KKK anymore, and they just bought it. When you're the Grand Dragoon or whatever the heck it is, you don't just let go of that.
Right.
I don't think. Right. I don't know. I mean, I don't really care right now. The guy's dead. But he became a favorite of the party.
Yep, he did.
That's an interesting one. And then I mentioned the Chinese spy. Over in China, here's what I want to know. There's unrest now. There's crowds of people who are upset with the lockdowns, and they're calling for President Xi to be removed. How do they even let each other know, let's be at such and such a square at such and such a time? Because aren't they heavily restricted on social media? How do they let each other know? Pick up their phone and, call? That's what I'm wondering about.
Yeah, I don't know. I see some videos and tweets on Twitter about it. I see, the police over there being very heavy-handed. And
oh, God, yes.
You know, there was a reporter, I think, for the BBC that they roughed up and said it was for his own good. I see videos of them deleting photos off of people's phones. And, and what started this, Bob, is these, China's pursuing a zero COVID policy, not unlike what a lot of states that had Democrat governors tried to do in the U.S.
Yes.
But, nobody does authoritarianism like China. And there was an apartment building on fire. And because of the way that the government has restricted people's movements and activities, people basically burned alive.
They locked them in.
Yeah, that's what sparked this protest. And we'll see how it goes. I will be honest, Bob, I'm not optimistic about the results here.
No.
Because, you want to think there are parallels to what happened in the late 1980s in Eastern Europe, rising up against the communists and ultimately overthrowing the communist governments. The difference then versus now is at that point you had George Bush in the White House, who was anti-communist and actually tried to, do what they could to topple, to give it a little push, right? Biden, sympathetic to them or invested in them, worst case scenario. And is going to do the Obama thing like Obama did with when they had their student protest uprising in Iran during his presidency. They're just going to sit back and watch. They aren't going to do anything to call out evil and try to put an end to it. That's not their agenda.
No, it isn't their agenda at all. And all right, I'm going to switch gears here to something closer to home. The Gophers have won the axe 2 years in a row now. And Okay. Yes, good for them. And I saw a lot of people going after Pat Royce because he's not a fan of PJ Flex. Mm-hmm. And he said something he did was cowardly, and they were all over. Because these Gopher sycophants, they use any excuse. This is a Wisconsin team that fired its coach at midseason. It's a bad Wisconsin team. Beating them, yeah, that's great. But this Gopher team, it's nothing special, as shown by its five losses.
I don't know how you can't call this season a disappointment. They end the season. They aren't playing for the conference championship. They lost a couple of winnable games. They should have beaten Purdue. They didn't. They come away with one of the four trophies from their trophy games. And you're right. The sycophants, will just sit out there and praise this. They'll go to some mid-level bowl game and be happy with it. Now, yeah, it's not as bad as the days where they were losing to South Dakota State at home. But, you know, we talk, throughout the season about the other D1 team in town, which is St. Thomas. They won their conference title in their second year. Now, let's be honest, and I've not talked to the coach about this, but I'm pretty confident that St. Thomas's final landing place is not this Pioneer League. It's probably Missouri Valley playing some competitive teams. And the Gophers better get their act together or they're going to start losing recruits, not only to North Dakota State, but also to St. Thomas.
And, there's a lot of good. There are D1 players at places like Bethel and St. John's. I mean, they get them too. So there's competition here. No question about it. And
absolutely.
Also, speaking of St. John's, tough loss to Wartburg, which actually I looked at the, somebody does like the chances of winning the national title. Wartburg is, I think, in pretty good shape. I mean, they're one of the better teams, even though they were ranked 12th. So that, and Bethel, I believe Bethel's still alive. So they've won a couple of games. So it'll be, you start rooting for Bethel. It's a shame. Johnny's had a great season, and it's too bad they lost.
They did. Division III, though, there's certain powerhouse schools, Wartburg, Mary Hardin, Baylor, Mount Union. I know Whitewater got bounced the week before. But it's all about those brackets, right? And if you line up with one of those schools, even with a home game like St. John's had, that's a tough out. It's not easy, to win a Division III championship. John Gilardi, who's the winningest college football coach of all time, only did it twice?
Well, I think he had four national titles, and two of them were NAIA, and then he won the NCAA Division III twice.
Yep, exactly. St. Thomas, during their time in D3, they went twice and lost to Mount Union both times. It's not an easy championship to win. So, they had a good season. They got through a couple rounds of the playoffs, and that's it.
Yeah, but, kudos to them. Now, I want to ask you about I asked Dave Bialke this, and I want to ask you, too. Were you rooting for the Packers or the Eagles last night? Because Vikings fan.
Rooting for the Packers.
Because you wanted them to knock off the Eagles. But I just don't see the Vikings catching them, because even though the record would be the same, they still have that one-game advantage. So the Vikings would have to finish the season with one more win than the Eagles to have a shot at or to have home field throughout. Because I don't think the other teams are catching them.
Yeah, well, the Eagles, I think, have to go down and play Dallas. And Dallas is better, we saw last week. Dallas is better than their record. They had some injuries, and that's what led to some of the losses. But Dallas might be as good a team as Philly, or pretty close to it. Now, Philly made some moves at the trade deadline. Linval Joseph and Dominican Sue that are looking to be paying off, right?
Yes.
They knocked Aaron Rodgers out of the game last night.
He was in rough shape to start.
Yeah, well, this came out this week. He's got a broken thumb on his throwing hand. It obviously does affect him. Jordan Love looked pretty good when they finally put him in after Rodgers really got bumped. I think he had an oblique injury or something like that.
He did, and I said this, what they did earlier when I was talking to Dave, that they need to make their move now. They're not going anywhere, and it's time they took away control of this team from Rodgers, who calls, he's been calling a lot of the shots. Sometimes they listen, a lot of times they don't, but they need to let him know, hey, we're moving on from you. and he'll whine and pout, but they'll just tell him, look, we don't want you're injured. You're not playing.
Interesting you mentioned that. They mentioned that during the game last night. I think it was the two announcers, Tirico mentioned to Chris Collinsworth that there was a game back in 2007 down at Texas Stadium.
When Favre got hurt. Yep,
Favre got hurt. Rodgers came in. And Tirico pointed out, by the next year, Rodgers was the starter. And it was like the same week of the season. Did we just see history repeat itself last night?
We very well could have, because why would you let a guy play with the bad thumb like that, and then he's got the oblique injury? So keep mm-hmm. him on the sidelines and see if Jordan Love is your guy and could do it. Because mm-hmm. imagine the amount of money that could open up if you can find another team. The best thing would be a trade partner, because then you could dump the salary or a good part right. of it and salary cap. Right. So, all right, Jeff, right. as always, greatly appreciated. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. Take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.